So the question is, how can we remain centered and keep our sanity in these chaotic times? We get trapped in our thoughts, and what follows is a trance of catastrophic fear. What we think and feel impacts our immune system via chemical messages from the brain. Therefore, stress, worry, and fear, as well as unpleasant emotional states, can have a detrimental impact on our immune system because it creates an environment increasingly susceptible to disease. The fear everyone seems to be experiencing regarding the global pandemic right now may affect the way our immune system responds to the virus. A robust number of studies supports the fact that stress is responsible for a large number of illness. For example, Bruce Lipton, in his book, The Biology of Belief, says that stress is responsible for up to 90% of illness. When a person is stressed, his body releases glucocorticoids like, you know, stress hormones like adrenaline, cortisol, and these stress hormones shut down the immune system because the body thinks we're in danger and we need the energy to run away from that danger, from like the predator. In the book that I just mentioned, Bruce Lipton says, stress hormones are so effective at compromising the immune system that physicians therapeutically provide recipients of organ transplants with stress hormones to prevent their immune system from rejecting the foreign implant. So he says that the conclusion is pretty clear, that the fear of a virus could be more deadly than the virus itself. So we worry, and underlying our worry is fear and anxiety in anticipation of the uncertainty that the future brings. It is our very human tendency that Dr. Rick Hansen calls negativity bias. It is a default neurological network that we have all been born with. It is a survival strategy that predisposes us to focus on what is wrong so we can protect ourselves against any danger. That negativity is automatic, and unless we become aware of that negative tendency and we train our brain not to be prey to that negativity bias, we will be missing the beauty of life for the rest of our existence because our thoughts create the reality that we inhabit. So worrying and fear weakens our immune system. I was reading amazing research studies pointing to the fact that mindfulness practices can have disease-fighting powers because they strengthen our immune system, our immune response. The immune system is one of the most critical systems that lead to our physical wellness. And it is our defense system. It's like our armed forces that work to protect us from foreign invaders like viruses and foreign bacteria. It has been so precisely designed that it can distinguish between harmful and unwanted pathogens and our own healthy tissues and cells and organs. It is so wise that the immune system has even been called, and it's sometimes called, the floating brain because of its ability to communicate with the brain through the chemical messages that float around inside our body. So when our immune system struggles, it's like a welcome sign for infection and for disease. So one of the studies that I was reading was conducted by Dr. Joe Dispenza in 2016. And he holds regular national and international seminars. So for a few years now, he has been conducting on-site research where he studies the effect, and back then in 2016, he studied the effect that elevated emotions like gratitude, compassion, love, kindness have in the immune system. And he did that by taking saliva samples from 117 people at the start of his workshop, and then 4 days later, when the workshop was finished, this was a study conducted over a period of 4 days, and the subjects were meditating for at least 15 minutes a day during those 4 days. So they measured a protein marker for the strength of the immune system, and this chemical is one of the primary proteins responsible for the health of the immune system. It's an antibody, and it's called immunoglobulin A, and it plays a crucial role in the immune function of mucous membranes like the gut or the respiratory passages or the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the sex organs, which stop pathogens like viruses and fungi and other organisms that try to enter the body and invade the system. So immunoglobulin A is so powerful that it is better than any flu shot or any immune system booster that we can take. And when it is activated, it's the primary defense system in the human body. So the main job of immunoglobulin A is to create a harmonious and healthy environment in which our bodies can thrive. And this harmony is actually disturbed by stress, because stress depletes our body of high levels of immunoglobulin A. And when the stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline go up, the levels of this protein go down, compromising and deregulating the immune system. So in this study that I was telling you about, the participants were asked to move into an elevated emotional state, like compassion, gratitude, joy, or love, for 9 to 10 minutes, 3 times a day. And the researchers wanted to know the link between the emotional state and the immune system. So they asked this question: if we could elevate our emotions, could we elevate and boost and strengthen our immune system? In other words, can these participants upregulate their immune system simply by changing their emotional state without any external circumstances? And the results were amazing. The average immunoglobulin A levels went up by 49.5%. And the normal range of this protein is from 37 to 87 milligrams per deciliter. But some people measured more than 100 milligrams at the end of the workshop. So, like I said, this is so significant because these changes happened without having any meaningful experiences in the external environment. All these were elevated emotions that the participants managed to create with their thoughts. So by attaining states of elevated emotions, even just for a few days, their bodies started to believe that they were in a new environment. So they were able to signal new genes and change their genetic expression. In this case, the protein expression of their immune system. So what it means is that we may not need a pharmacy to heal us. We actually have the power from within to boost our own internal state. Something as simple as moving into emotions like compassion, love, and gratitude for 9 to 10 minutes, maybe 2 or 3 times a day. So mindfulness meditation increases activity in the prefrontal cortex, in the right anterior insula, and in the right hippocampus. And these are the areas of the brain that act as our immune system's command center. When these parts are stimulated through mindfulness, the immune system functions more effectively. So the new phrase could be now, mindfulness meditation each day keeps the doctor away. So your thoughts produce emotions which create a chemical environment which will signal your genetic expression. If your chemical environment is flooded by stress hormones, there is disruption of the homeostasis the body needs to be in harmony and in a state of well-being. When you get used to that cycle of fear thinking and stress, you create an unpleasant environment without realizing it. And your body sort of becomes addicted to these emotions. And then your body craves the hormones produced by this stressful state. So we need to start monitoring our thoughts, not fighting our thoughts, but noticing when our thoughts are fearful thoughts. And these thoughts, fearful thoughts, are always about the future. And we cannot really predict the future. We can imagine the future, but we never really know what is going to happen. So we are just speculating. And in doing so, we are losing the opportunity to actually live in this present moment. So intentionality is the key, and without the intention to always come back to this present moment, it is very challenging to change this habit of negative thinking that creates these unpleasant emotions that affect your gene expression, and as a consequence weakens and downregulates your immune system. So I was reading other studies, especially by, there is one by the National Institute of Health that looked at 20 randomized controlled trials that examined the effects of mindfulness meditation on the immune system. And this is what the authors found. They found that practicing mindfulness meditation reduces the markers of inflammation. And high levels of inflammation are often correlated with decreased immune functioning and with disease. So if mindfulness meditation reduces those markers of inflammation, that means that it boosts our immune function. The study also found an increased number of CD4 cells. These are the white cells, the white blood cells that are also called T cells, which are the immune system's helper cells that are involved in sending signals to other cells in our organism, telling them to sort of destroy infections. So your CD4 count gives you an indication of the health of the immune system. And in this study, the CD count was much higher at the end of a certain number of, usually 8 weeks of mindfulness training. And the study also found an increased telomerase activity because telomeres, which are found in every cell, and they are at the end of every single chromosome, telomeres promote the stability of our chromosomes and prevent the shrinking or the deterioration of the chromosomes. And so by practicing mindfulness, Elizabeth Blackburn, the Nobel Prize in Medicine, she won the Nobel Prize of Medicine in 2009, and she discovered this enzyme that is called telomerase, and that is responsible for increasing the size of telomeres and preventing its shrinkage, which contributes to a boost in our immune system. Of course, all these results need to be replicated with more rigorous methodology, but they are very promising and potentially pave the way for using mindfulness-based techniques to boost the immune system. And so then there are other studies conducted by UCLA. In one of them, 50 men who had been diagnosed with HIV positive meditated for between 30 to 45 minutes a day, and their CD cell count at the end of the study that lasted for 8 weeks, and their CD4 cell count had gone up, and it had increased, and it was associated with a healthier immune system. Also, Richard Davidson from Wisconsin Madison also conducted a study, and this was also after an 8-week mindfulness training program, in which the subjects were in a work environment, and they were measured before and after, and then followed after 4 months, and their immune function had also been strengthened. And they found also that they had greater levels of antibodies in their system. So when negative thinking becomes compulsive, and as I said before, it gets addictive, and so we may experience a buildup of nervous, fearful, or angry energies inside us, and then we feel anxious. We feel like we are going through even a panic attack sometimes, and we lose our inner peace. And the voice in our head becomes extremely loud. So remember that negativity that we feel is usually rooted in the future and many times in the past, and it robs us from the present moment, from the joy that we can experience in life, and it creates a lot of suffering. So how can we free ourselves from the propensity of this fearful thinking? Well, breaking our habitual patterns, it's not easy. It is definitely not an overnight thing. It takes time and sustained effort to change ingrained patterns that we have been cultivating for sometimes years. But we can do it. Pema Chodron, in her Living Mindfulness, in her book, Pema Chodron is a Buddhist nun, and she says, the propensity to get angry, the propensity to feel sorry for ourselves, our habitual, all too familiar emotion responses are like seeds that we just keep watering and nurturing. But every time we pause and stay present with the underlying energy, we stop reinforcing these propensities and we begin to open ourselves to refreshingly new possibilities. That's what she says. So, pausing. First of all, we need to bring an intention, and the intention to bring awareness to our habitual unpleasant thoughts and emotional states. And as we respond differently to an old habit, we may start to notice changes. We gradually, we start noticing that our mind is leaning more and more, if we practice gratefulness, for things we are grateful for. So it's not a question of fighting our thoughts. Our thoughts are not our enemy. When we notice that we are contemplating negative and detrimental thoughts, we just notice them, we label them with thinking, and then we cannot deactivate a thought, but we can activate a new thought. So we can activate a great gratitude thought. Think about things that you are grateful for. Think about the health that you have right now. The fact that you can walk, that you can breathe, that think about the people that you love in your life and that are close to you. Think about all the beauty in your life. And a gratitude cannot coexist with anxiety or with fear. So, so in that moment, you're starting to be free from suffering, actually, and you are conditioning and are actually changing the architecture of your brain. So the awareness of thoughts and emotions, of these uninvited guests that we keep giving room and board in our minds, that awareness is very, very important. Because in that moment, when we become aware, we are talking about interrupting the momentum of the thought. We are not talking about repressing our thoughts. Like I said, remember that our thoughts are not the enemy. Thoughts happen, and there is nothing we can do about it. But the practice is to train in not following the thoughts, not in getting rid of the thoughts altogether. That would be impossible. When you do not attach to your thoughts or emotion, they dissolve like bubbles touched by a feather. Emotions last for only 1 minute and a half unless we feed them with our discursive thoughts. So we bring intention to bring awareness to our thoughts. We notice our thoughts and emotions. We cultivate drifting our thoughts towards gratitude. And when we have emotions that invade us, when we feel the urge in our chest, feel the urge when you feel hooked. When you feel an emotion that is very strong and the fear is really felt in the body, drop into your body. Do not run away from the emotion. That is repression. And repression is numbing. It's running away. It's not contacting what is happening. It's denial of what is happening, which only hide the thoughts, and they can fester, and they keep on coming back and back. So instead of running away from them, we bring the awareness to what we are feeling in our body. Like Pema Chodron says, we get hooked, and we feel that urge. I feel it here in my chest. So instead of clinging to that urge, we bring a sense of curiosity. We feel our body, and we notice the changes. And if you just stay with the feeling, feelings are just like thoughts. They stay for only a minute and a half, and then they dissolve. When you notice the message that that emotion is bringing you, because emotions, remember, are coming to give us a message. When we listen the message, then when we listen to the message, that message dissolves in our body. So we feel the emotion in our body, we let it dissolve. The key is to turn towards the emotion and look at them in the face, to feel the energy of the thoughts and feelings, to become curious about them, to sense how they feel in your body. This is what it feels like to feel groundlessness. This is what it feels like to feel anxiety. This is what resistance feels like. This is what anxiety feels like. You're actually practicing with those unpleasant feelings. And you will notice how impermanent they are. When you do not attach to your thoughts or emotions, your thoughts or emotions dissolve. So that is a practice, and this practice is actually condensed in a practice, in a tool that Michelle McDonald, a mindfulness teacher many years ago, created. And this is an acronym, and the acronym is RAIN, is RAIN. And this acronym stands for, the R stands for recognize, the A stands for allow, the I stands for investigate, and the N stands for two things: not identify with the feeling, and to nurture the feeling with compassion, with self-compassion. So the R of recognizing is to recognize the emotion and to recognize the thought that is feeding that emotion. So you say, oh, this is what fear is like, and you recognize it. You bring awareness to it. And then you allow it to be there. You allow it to be in your body. You do not resist it. Because resistance increases the suffering, actually. What we resist persists. And pain plus resistance equals suffering, right? So what we should do is allowing. So pain plus acceptance equals freedom. So allowing the feeling to express itself. And then the I is to investigate it in the body, where we feel it. I feel it here in my chest, or perhaps here in my throat, or in my head, and bring a sense of curiosity to that feeling, and see how it is impermanent, how it changes, and if you stay with it, it will eventually dissolve. And then the end of not identifying with the feeling. So if you feel anxiety, it's not that you are an anxious person. It's just that you are experiencing anxiety right now in your body. So you don't identify with the feeling. And at the same time, you nourish yourself with self-compassion, because you are suffering in this moment where you are experiencing fear. So you bring self-compassion, and compassion for yourself, because This is the human condition, to feel the emotions, and some of these emotions bring fear. So the message is then, let's not escape or run away into fear. Let's stay with the fact that these are hard times, but we have a choice. We have the option of creating an internal atmosphere that is conducive to harmony and an interior environment that protects our immune system. And you can do that by staying with your emotions, not running away from them, monitoring your thinking, and cultivating thoughts and feelings of gratitude and compassion. And now we are going to do a meditation. So closing your eyes.